The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Imprint Companion, a physical media podcast brought to you and embracing Australia's latest boutique Blu-ray label, Imprint Films. I am one half of the team of the physically obsessed hoarders of many a Blu-ray, Blake Howard. With me, as always, is the world's most beautiful, most Australian ethnic Greek film critic that has ever lived. His chest hair is so formidable, it is almost a special feature on his very body. Wow. Alexi Toliopoulos, it is so wonderful to see you on another Imprint Companion, my friend.
Blake, I am overwhelmed and overjoyed, but mostly I'd say overencumbered with special features and Blu-rays and discs from this giant batch that we've got from Imprint. I feel like we've been snowed under over the last couple of months on this show.
Look, there's a moment in one of the films that we're deep diving on in this episode, the Harry Palmer film, The Ipcrest File, that features Michael Caine's character locked in this box, and he's like, it's like an oral sensory overload experience where he's being bashed basically in Sidney Furie's terrific film. And I genuinely am like, I look at this and I'm like, I can't believe how much we've been spoiled across different countries, across different types of cinema. It's just unbelievable. So I think we should just get out of the way right now. This is a brand new Imprint films for what has been floating around because of the Australian pandemic, October, November release batch. Mm-hmm. This is broadly, I guess, a big British batch of films.
Yes.
That features multiple box sets. So you've got things like big screen British comedy that has Dad's Army, the Steptoe and Sons movies, and Are You Being Served? If you're a classic British comedy fan, you've got the Browning versions, both versions of the Browning versions, Michael Redgrave, Albert Finney, and then you've also got a couple of other really great ones. You've got like Australian classic Ned Kelly starring Mick Jagger that is in this batch
Can I tell you how excited I was to see this pop up as an option to finally have on Blu-ray? I'm a big fan of this kind of Australian movie in that slightly Ausploitation bushranger vibe, like the Australian westerns. And
yes,
this one's a bit of an icon because it's got Mick Jagger as like Australia's most prominent folk hero, our kind of version of Robin Hood or something. Robin Hood meets like, you know, the man with no name or something. It's a very singular being, Ned Kelly. So this is a real cult classic Australian film, and it makes me very excited to see this in here. And there's a couple of other ones. We've got A Reflection of Fear and Assassination Bureau. We're overwhelmed with movies this month. So what we thought we would do is pick out one of the big ones, the one that we think is the must-have item in this box, in this batch, rather, that we want to give a shout-out to and kind of just discuss that one at large.
Yeah, look, we're talking about a batch of films, and talk about a purple patch of movies and a purple patch of the British film industry era, and three incredible directors that, like, feature in this great sort of I guess antidote or alternative to James Bond. Films made in 1965, 66, and 67 were broadly being able to call this the Harry Palmer collection. This is, of course, based around the Harry Palmer series that was written by Len Deighton, which is actually now experiencing a bit of a purple patch in British TV. They've taken Len Deighton's novels, the Harry Palmer novels, and they're adapting it for TV at the same time. But this was Harry Saltzman, who is one half of the Saltzman and Broccoli team, who brought us James Bond to the big screen for the first time, came in were looking for other British spy novels, were essentially looking to corner the market on kind of every British spy novel they could. This was their kind of George Smiley-esque version for later. People have seen your Tinker Tailor Soldier Spies. They were looking for an equivalency, and they found this character who in Len Deighton's first novel, The Ipcrest File, has actually no name. And Michael Caine himself and Harry Saltzman at a lunch were trying to think of the most boring name, and Michael Caine, true to his scallywag credit, shouted out to the old Harry Saltzman and said, Harry's a boring name. Harry's a boring name. And they're like, Harry Palmer, there you go. And so we have three films in this great Harry Palmer collection as part of this imprint badge. That is Ipcrest File, which is directed by Sidney Furie. You got Funeral in Berlin, which is directed by Guy Hamilton. And then Billion Dollar Brain, which is directed by Ken Russell. I mean, talk about three British icons behind the lens, in front. Lex, let's dive in to these three classics, starting with The Ipcrest File.
This is a film that I was familiar with because my mom is like such an Anglophile. My mom truly loves, she doesn't love James Bond. She loves this kind of like English espionage type film and books. My mom is a big Le Carre fan. She loves the George Smiley films, the TV films with Alec Guinness as George Smiley from back in the day. She loves the modern one as well, Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy. But she really loves this kind of like slow burn English espionage where it's just a little bit funny, like people are quite witty around them. So she always loved Ipcrest File. So I'd seen it a few times growing up. I don't think I'd ever seen either of the sequels. I didn't even really know they existed, to be honest, until I saw this box set land. And I was like, holy shit, there's sequels to The Ipcrest File? And then looking up like, oh my God, they're directed by Ken Russell and like one of the best James Bond directors, Guy Hamilton. I'm like, what the frick? So I was so excited to like dig into this one. I've had a chance to rewatch The Ipcrest File, beloved film from my days of youth. And I've also checked out Funeral in Berlin, the first sequel directed by Guy Hamilton. I think that these, like you said, these are such an antidote to the thrills that Bond gives you. To have like these kind of cold and slow, more films, I would say, that are more spy movies than action movies.
Absolutely. These are espionage with a capital E. And for me, I feel like Ipcrest File, for movie lovers out there, is a movie that if you haven't seen the whole thing, I'm almost certain that you've stumbled on portions of it, of clips of it, of certain moments, because there are, you know, certainly iconic. And just talking about Ipcrest first, 1965, it's directed by Sidney Furie. And if you don't know who Sidney Furie is, he's a filmmaker who, like, his resume is kind of wild. Like, it goes all the way up to present day, making things like Pride of Lions, Drive Me to Vegas, Finding Hannah, which has just been completed. Yes, like, it goes all the way to contemporary times. But it started out with films like, you know, Ipcrest File, The Naked Runner. Later on, he apparently did work on uncredited work on Night of the Juggler and The Jazz Singer, which are both comedies. Wow. And Superman 4, The Quest for Peace, as well as another random one that he appeared in. But what I would say about Ipcrest File is it is one of the most formally dynamic and stunningly composed spy movies that I think I've ever seen. Mm. Every single shot in this movie, whether you vibe with a slow burn or not, I think what's so valuable about this triptych of these stories is just how wildly different and wildly capable all three of these guys are. And so Sid Fury, I mean, this whole movie looks like it's shot from a silent observer. It looks like it's shot from someone hiding in a plant, in like someone's hiding in a roof. It looks like someone's hiding in some kind of cupboard that's holding like cutlery or a pantry cupboard. Everything is being shot, looking, peering through things, peering over the shoulders, peering down over things. And it just feels like he took the assignment of how do I make an espionage film truly feel like I'm embodying this omnipresent watching that's happening from these external forces. And he just makes it happen. And so I think, you know, Ypres is probably the most famous because it's the most innovative. And when you look at Ypres, you can see, like, it feels, I don't know if it felt, well, it felt like you, man, but I was just looking at it and I was like, I see John Frankenheimer take some of this stuff later. Yep. I see Steven Spielberg take some of these techniques later. I just feel like and even as late as in, we were just talking before about the most recent Bond movie, No Time to Die, and even the Mendes Bonds with like Skyfall and things like that, compositions, people moving into frame, you know, I really feel like some of these espionage techniques are still very applicable today. And I think Sid Fury for Ypres, which I actually think is probably the slowest and maybe now that I've seen all three, it's probably like my equal second favorite of the batch. But man, as far as formally, it's just out of this world. Great.
Yeah. And I think the thing that I find really interesting, it is in that counterpoint to Bond because, you know, we already said that it's Saltzman who is one part of the duo of Saltzman and Broccoli. But we've also got this fantastic score from John Barry, who is one of the great, you know, composers of all time, but he really becomes iconic with his score work on those early James Bond films. So they bring him in to do something a bit different. It's got the same production designer of like From Russia with Love and other Bond films, Ken Adam. But to me, the thing that really stands out the most is the editor of this Ypres file is Peter Hunt, who is one of the most famous editors who made his bones editing those early James Bond films and then eventually doing the second unit, eventually being the director behind On Her Majesty's Secret Service. And I think it's interesting to see how his editing style applies between the two films by like kind of long sustained shots being like what kind of sticks in like the Ypres file, being like more on that coverage way. And then James Bond, he's like experiments, especially by the time he gets to On Her Majesty's Secret Service and it's all him, the way that he experiments like with action and stuff, I think is fantastic in that film. So seeing it like stuff start to like be different and develop here, it makes me see him as a more, I see more of the holistic experience of the artist there.
Yes. And that, it's so funny the crossover, because as soon as you dive into Funeral in Berlin, which is the sequel to
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This film, you dive into Guy Hamilton. And like, I mean, you don't have to be a film fan to know, I don't know, a couple of these movies. Goldfinger, maybe the actual template for all Bond movies that ever went afterwards. Yep. Man with the Golden Gun, Diamonds Are Forever, Live and Let Die. Like, he's got so many things on his resume that are all Bonds. But it's his first one is Goldfinger in 64. He does Funeral in Berlin in 66 and then bounces back to Bond in 71 with Diamonds Are Forever. And so it is the most conventional looking of the three films. It doesn't have that innovation, the innovative style, I guess, that both Russell brings to it in that he's more vibrant one, which we'll get to in Billion Dollar Brain. But man, Guy Hamilton in this, holy shit. Like, it just, it feels like such a contemporary spy thriller, except that you're literally, you know, it's got a lot of, and we said Spielberg before, but like, I do not, until I saw Funeral in Berlin, I was like, oh, Spielberg, like, what a great idea for Bridge of Spies. And now that I watch it, I'm like, oh, Spielberg loves Guy Hamilton. He's clearly seen Funeral in Berlin like 25 times before he did that. And I just, that whole relationships and these, like, especially in Funeral in Berlin, there's a character that is, there's a character that's introduced who, Oscar Homolka is his name. He plays Colonel Stock, who's the, a Russian person that a Russian spy who's potentially going to come over, a USSR agent. And man, that witticism of these people on both sides and just happily and gleefully, like the banter that happens on both sides of the, this sort of Cold War fight, it's just sublime. Like they're just, it's just terrific. The whole thing completely rules.
Yeah, I really, really enjoyed this. Like this is kind of like, I can't believe I didn't know that there were sequels to the Ypres file. And I think that like right away, I was so interested in what was going on in this film where we've got like, you know, obviously the two sides of like the Berlin Wall. And then I love that opening sequence where like just a crane brings something over, brings like this big iron bucket that just a worker from one side jumps in and is taken over to the other side. Was just like, that was such a cool opening that just sets the scene for everything that this film's playing with.
Yeah, it's so, you know, if Ypres file is the more psychological and starts to sort of bridge on like the technological and has all of those fears that you associate with, like, you know, sleeper agents and those sorts of things, and plays around with the technology bit. Funeral in Berlin is just like, it's way more like surface level. It's like, we're going to get double crossed, we're going to get backstabbed, we're going to save people, and it becomes a little bit more conventional, but it doesn't take away any of the nuance. It, like, there's still like good moves and good moments and nice twists and turns that are really fun. But I know you haven't seen this one, Lex, and I'm just dying to talk to you about it because I think I'm most certainly going to convince anyone. So the one with probably the strangest and weakest title of the three is
I don't know if you can call this the weakest title. It's Billion Dollar Brain, dude. That's that's like what everyone's nickname would dream to be.
Fortunes?
It makes fortunes. Ours.
Billion Dollar Brain, let's just say this. What has been brought to every one of these films is a unique director. And Billion Dollar Brain is it has one challenge in that it's one of the later Len Dayton books which sees Harry Palmer leave the service and he goes into business for himself as a private eye. He stumbles in to a plot, American fundamentalist radicals who try and use a supercomputer to overthrow communism.
Whoa.
And so he gets dragged back in, you know, just when he thought he was out, he gets dragged back into these spies. He starts meeting some of these figures from his past. And one of the things I can say is like Ken Russell, if you don't know that name, the man behind The Devils, which is still like yet to have a really phenomenal release. It's still kind of kept under lock and key. Altered States. I mean, this is one of the most... He's a true provocateur.
He really is. He's one of the true provocateurs of cinema. Truly boundary-pushing filmmaker. That's what fascinates me about this movie and why I'm like, how can he have had an entry in this franchise?
So he gets Harry Palmer. He finds out that there's these sleeper agent operations that are happening in the Soviet Union and in Eastern Europe in the middle of the Cold War. They then track these things to this secretive, what looks like this kind of proto-artificial intelligence. But what we find out is that this proto-artificial intelligence is just, in fact, it's a huge supercomputer that's got a whole bunch of agents. It's almost very Spectre-style from the last James Bond film, like proto-Spectre, where they're feeding this thing information and telling people who to kill and whatever. And rather than Blofeld at the end, it ends up being Ed Begley, who plays like this crazy, like psychotic Christian, like fundamentalist and family lover in Texas. Yeah, this... these bunch of Texan Christian fundamentalists who garb themselves in like what looks like SS uniforms go over and try and take out the communists. And I understand why this movie is the less known of all of them, because it is so rabidly anti-American colonialism that I don't know if any American theater would ever want to show it, because it is so like... in the same way that Paul Verhoeven, you know, we've talked about on this show before, how he is like the most, he has the most naked and unflattering view of what America is and something like Showgirls, which is why it continues to resonate. I feel like watching this is like, you're just basically seeing crazy Texas fundamentalist capitalists want to destroy anything that is in their path, and they're willing to be as crazy and suicidal in their way of doing it. And so this movie feels like this wild bunch of these huge, like crazy and people that are outlandish, and Harry is just navigating to stay alive. And I'm just like, the whole time you're watching it, I'm like, man, Ken Russell, they thought they were just getting like another one of these guys who was going out there to be innovative. And Ken Russell's out there like pushing buttons, having these American fundamentalists dressed in like Nazi gear, Nazi paraphernalia, like making them in 1 minute dress like Nazis and like go on suicide missions, and in the other minute like talking about family and like quotes, quoting from the Bible. It's just amazing. So, Billion Dollar Brain knocked my socks off, because I'm like, this is a Ken Russell joint, okay? If you are a completist, you need to have this in your collection, because it's a Ken Russell joint, and he's doing, from the confines of this espionage movie, the baddiest one of this entire series, he's really pushing buttons. And man, it's like a sliding doors moment of like, if there was another Funeral in Berlin, maybe we would have had all the Harry Palmer novels as films. But I feel like Ken Russell shut the door, but it's like, man, he didn't just shut it, he slammed it. And I was like, yeah, Ken, you killed it. It's so good.
That's like, so exciting. Yeah, I have to. I think it's like one thing that really surprised me about this box set is I had a feeling that this would be like a bit of a bare bones one, because, you know, it's three movies. I didn't know how much there would be in there. The content is stacked on each of these discs. Like, each has enough supplemental features that also don't seem too on the nose. Like, there's some that are just like old archival documentaries about Michael Caine, like who is Michael Caine and stuff from that era, which just sounds so cool because, you know, Michael Caine has roles that I would say are more iconic to building the persona of Michael Caine's character on film. Like Alfie that we've covered before from Imprint. And then, you know, some of the gangster movies like you Get Carter and stuff. But as far as defining what we think Michael Caine looks like, I think Harry Palmer is the character that we associate with what Michael Caine looks like. He's got those glasses, those classic like Michael Caine specs that he would go on to parody, of course, in Austin Powers, Goldmember, where he plays Nigel Powers, Austin's dad. But I think that's what's so key about it. And to have like all of these features, like there's so much in there. There's new stuff, there's old stuff, there's really old archival documentaries on each disc. This is a rich box set.
Yeah, it's really rich. If there's only one minor criticism, and we have to be fair and objective, on the outer box, it doesn't have Harry in the glasses, which is a shame.
And you know that is the thing.
I don't endorse vandalism, but I do have a Sharpie.
Yes,
and I think for the show, Lex, hold on, you're just gonna have to vamp for a minute. Before the show, live on air, I'm gonna draw glasses on the box set. I'm gonna have to do it.
Good Lord. He's doing it, guys. This madman is getting the box. He's got a Sharpie in his hand.
All right,
he's got it.
This is the box set. We're going right to the front.
He's completely...
He's got a naked face. It has to be fixed.
His only complaint was that he does not have his iconic spectacles on the box set. He's defacing it, but he is in fact refacing it. He is making it look like the Michael Caine we know and love from the Harry Palmer. Okay, well, not that accurate, Blake, but good job.
Well, it's not that accurate, but nonetheless, it is a good attempt, and he has now got the specs on. This is the only imprint box set that I've actually defaced, but I was looking at this because one of the first great documentaries on the first one, Michael Caine is Harry Palmer, this great interview from 2006, and there's a couple of other great interviews on that, like, you know, there's Candid Caine and other self-portraits and other things like that. But the first one, he talks about...
By the way, one of the best puns I've ever heard, Candid Caine?
Candid
It's
Caine.
A pun on Candy Caine.
And a pun on Candid Camera, Candid Caine. Like, it's this, wow. it's double pun. And but I just remember him talking about, because he was mates with Sean Connery, he was like, you know, Sean is James Bond. And any movie that Sean's in at this period, he couldn't escape that he was James Bond. Like, James Bond looks like Sean Connery. Sean Connery looks like James Bond. It was a really tough thing for him to pivot, you know, prior to On Her Majesty's and obviously going through then the rhythm of getting new Bonds on deck. But he was like, I'm lucky because Harry Palmer has such a distinct look. I put the Harry Palmer specs on. I can walk away. Mm-hmm. And so... there we go. The box set, unfortunately, has been defaced, but that's where we are. We have such an amazing lineup that are coming up for us on imprints in the next month. I mean, before we get to the December, because actually there is a November, technically a November bundle that you're going to hear from us in the next episodes. We've got some real, real rippers. You've got Let's Scare Jessica to Death, which is by John D. Hancock. You've got Tam Lin, which is an Ava Gardner movie with Roddy McDowell. You've got Body Parts, which is Eric Red's underrated 90s horror movie.
Been dying to watch it.
Now, the next one that's on this list, Lex, I know it's one of it's. I know you've got a fondness for it. It is a Sam Raimi joint. And I didn't even know it until we started researching it for the next episodes. It's written by Billy Bob Thornton. What the hell is it?
The Gift. It is The Gift.
Yes, The Gift. That's directed by Sam Raimi, as I said, Kate Blanchett, Katie Holmes, Giovanni Ribisi, Greg Kinnear. It is an insane, insane cast. We've also got Stir of Echoes, which is... a Kevin Bacon flick and really terrific underrated movie. Just another one of these like great video store movies getting a lot of play. And then a couple more classics, 70s occults. We've got Medusa Touch and The Possession of Joel Delaney. That is our November batch. And then like the December pack is almost as big. It's Last Train from Gun Hill, Kitten with a Whip, Lady in a Cage, House of Cards, not the TV show, The Country Girl, The Naked Jungle, Outrage, and finally, The Parallax View.
Which is one of the greatest special features that I'm looking forward to. A commentary by none other than Alan J. Pakula expert, Mr. Blake Howard.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. So, yeah, we've got so much coming to you. We've got this more, you know, horror conversations batch of November that you guys are going to see coming out very soon. We've got the December batch, which just looks like some Stone Cold classics that are being brought to imprint. It's just a massive couple of months, so we can't wait to chat to you more. Lex, between now and then, where can people hear your lovely self? I believe right now as they're listening to this, we're rolling into the finale of your beautiful little triptych on Total Reboot, Adam, Hearts, Drew. Adam and Drew, tell the folks about the current miniseries.
It's awesome. It's a dream miniseries we're doing on Total Reboot. We're talking about the three romantic comedies starring the greatest rom-com duo of all time, Adam Sandler and Drew Barrymore. We're talking The Wedding Singer. We're talking about 50 First Dates, one of the movies that makes me cry the most. And the yet to be seen by either of us blended. We haven't watched it yet. We haven't recorded it yet. We don't know what we're going to think about it. But these have been some really fun episodes. We had the guys from The Worst Idea of All Time on the latest episode about 50 First Dates, who we love very much. It was the first time all four of us have ever podcasted together. We've done countless iterations of two or three of us. And it was the first time it was all four of us. It was so much fun.
Very, very good. And look, I can highly recommend it. And I'm just going to throw it out into the universe now. If it's the last thing I do, I'll be I'm pushing for the Alexi Toliopoulos Bright Wall Dark Room Definitive 51st States essay. I'm pushing for it now, live on air. I'm putting pressure on the man. So we'll keep that rolling. If any of our friends over at Bright Wall listen to this, please please mention in the comments. I know that some of you guys listen.
Wow.
The final run of 5 episodes of Zodiac Chronicle are taking shape. I have been extremely hard on myself in these last coming episodes to make sure that they are up to snuff. I'm extremely proud of all the episodes we've put together. We have so much coming forward. But there is something I'm going to surprise Alexi with. Now, Alexi, speaking of great partnerships, the Total Reboot, the team duo, the Finding Drago dynamic duo, and obviously the incredible guys from Worst Idea of All Time getting together, I have it on great authority, aka I saw it in an Instagram story, that Cameron James, your dear co-host and partner on the other side of your potting family, does like to sort of swan around the streets of Sydney listening to Jay-Z and Linkin Park's Numb Encore. So I think now, at the end of this episode, I should say that in the future, there must almost certainly be a Miami Nice Total Reboot crossover with Katie Walsh, myself, yourself, and Cameron James talking about Miami Vice. I feel like it's the universe is calling out to us to do it. I spoke to Cam as I said, I feel like this is a subtweet, this story, you listening to Numb Encore and you not coming on Miami Vice. He said, you know where my people are. You know how to reach me. And so this is me reaching out to you as Cam's people to make this happen.
I will accept this. It's finally a great excuse for me to watch Miami Vice. Finally. I recently did borrow it on Blu-ray from a friend, so it is good timing.
Very good timing. Guys, thank you so much for listening to Imprint Companion. We love bringing you the show. This batch is absolutely stacked. For Anglophiles out there, you've got so much great stuff to consume. Big triple tick. This is our A++ like essential recommendation in the batch if you can't get the whole thing is the Harry Palmer collection. Yep. Purely if you're like massive director nerds like Lex and I, you have to get it. Thank you so much for listening. We'll catch you guys on more episodes of Imprint Companion and A Serious Disagreement soon, because physical media stocking stuffers are going to be it this Christmas.
It's
going to
be lit. It's going to be lit.
Lit. Hi, this is Blake Howard, host and producer of One Heat Minute Productions podcast. We dive into the great and underappreciated cinematic works, often 1 minute or one scene at a time. Our crew of guests are some of the most wonderful filmmakers, writers, authors, and critics ever assembled. Our shows include One Heat Minute, Josie and the Podcats, All the President's Minutes, Increment Vice, and right now, Zodiac Chronicle. Check out oneheatminute.com or find us wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.